Amen. I would get her to sing that again, but I'm not going to because I'm probably going to have her sing it again here in a couple of weeks because we're going to get to Lodabar here probably in the next two or three messages, I guess. I don't know. It takes a while to get there sometimes, but we're not far from Lodabar in our study of the life of David. And for those of you that don't know the story, I think most of you do, but if you don't, here real soon, we'll be looking in detail at that account in the scripture. And I don't ever want to forget where God found me. I don't want to go back and live there, but I don't want to forget it. And if you've never been in Lodabar, I tell you this, it's not a place to stay. I sure am glad that God took me out of Lodabar, the place of no bread, the place of poverty, and put me at the king's table, and thank God for that. We're going to get into 2 Samuel chapter number. You can take your Bibles and go to 2 Samuel chapter number 2 tonight. Pastor Brandon said he was going to get me in the pulpit early, and he did. I'm going to tell him what we say to our teens. That's on you, right? That's on you. You get me in the pulpit early, that's on you, right? It's good to be in church tonight, and as it's already been said, Pastor's not here. Please be in prayer for Pastor while they're out of town. At the board meeting for BIMI, and I'm sure that great things will be happening there. 2 Samuel chapter number 2 tonight, and we are going to begin kind of another phase of the life of David. We've been looking at the life of David for, I think we're in message number 11 or 12 of this series of David. It's one of the longer now. We've had missions conference. We have some missionary speakers, so it seems a little longer than it has been. But we've looked so far, we looked at the rise of David, right? We saw how that God picked David as a shepherd boy in 1 Samuel 16 and how that God chose David. Of all the men in Israel, the Bible says that God picked David, right? And we saw the rise of David, how that he was anointed by Samuel, how that he defeated Goliath, how that he ended up marrying the daughter of King Saul and was a part of the king's family, and he sat at the king's table, as we heard in song tonight, and he was the armor bearer of the king, and we saw how that the people sang their songs. Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands, and so we watched the rise of David, and then we spent more time than we did on the rise of David. We looked at the running of David, how that Saul chased him like a wild animal through the hills of Judah and all over the wilderness there, and Saul was pursuing David. So we saw how that God picked David, and we saw how Saul pursued David, and David was on the run. And now tonight we're going to start looking at the final phase of David's life, and that's going to last for a long period of time. David is about 30 years old right now, and he's going to reign, and that's what we're getting ready to look at. We saw the rise of David. We saw the running of David, and now we're going to begin to look at the reign of David. David is finally going to become the king, and for 40 years, David is going to rule. We could have said the rule of David or the reign of David. David is going to rule upon the throne of Israel, and so we're going to begin looking at that tonight, and as I've already mentioned, we saw how God picked David, and we saw how God prospered David, and we've seen how that God protected David there in the wilderness, and now tonight I want to look at this thought, how that God is going to promote David. God is getting ready to promote David, and that's my message tonight. God promoted David. I want to read a verse of scripture to you. I thought about having you turn there, but I won't. But Psalm 75 verse number 6 and verse 7, I want you to listen close to this verse of scripture. The Bible says this, it says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." Did you hear that? The Bible says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east." Is that east? Or from the west, right? I know that's south, okay? Right, that's north, D.C. We're going, yeah, okay. From the east, from the west, from the south, right? God, it says, "Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, But God is the judge. And I think it's interesting that the psalmist didn't say the north. And there's reasons that people believe that. I personally believe it's because we view God as on the throne. God is in the heavens. God is who we would look to the north, right? And it goes on. It says it's neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. God is on the throne. God is in the heavens. And it says that promotion doesn't come from anywhere but from God. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. God promoted David. And God will and does promote us. I was thinking about this thought, and that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, is how that God promoted David. I almost titled this message, God's Promotion Plan. God's promotion plan. You know God wants to promote you? God wants to promote me. You say, what does promote mean? I think that most of us in here tonight know what promote means. But for those that are a little younger, maybe you wonder what the word promote means. It means to advance. It has to do with a promotion has to do with going up, going higher, advancing, going into a new position. And God is about to promote David to a new position. And I thought about how that if we're honest, I believe in some ways we're all looking for some sort of promotion. There's some of you here tonight, you're hoping to get that promotion at work. Yeah, and Robert just turned his eyes up. He's thinking, I don't know, man. I kind of, when you run your own business, where do you go from there? But you're looking for the promotion at work. Maybe it's a new title. Maybe it's a more important position. Maybe it's better money. I don't know. Better hours. But there's people here tonight, you're looking for a promotion at work. There may be some here that are looking for a promotion in their home. Maybe they're looking for a promotion as a husband or a wife, right? Being promoted. Now, I'm not talking about those of you that are already married, you understand what I'm saying, right? I'm talking about those that are not married. They're looking to be promoted to that of a husband or that of a wife. They want to be promoted into marriage, right? There's some, maybe they want to be promoted into father or into mother. They're looking for an advancement. They want to be promoted into being parents, right? They're looking for God to move some things in their life, to promote them in some way. I thought about some of our young people here tonight. They're looking to be promoted from a youth to an adult. They're looking, some of them are looking to be promoted from rider to driver. How many of you have experienced that? For those of you that haven't, it's on its way. I'm in the midst of it right now. I got a great driver here. I'm not going to go into talking about my daughter's driving, right? But you go from being a rider to a driver. We've got numerous of them in our youth group that are in the process of being promoted from always riding to pretty much always driving, right? That's a promotion. In my family, you know what a big promotion is? This is a huge promotion in my family. From the back seat to the front seat. That's serious business right there. When you get to move from in my family, it's from the back to the middle to the front, right? So you go from the very back seat you go from the car seat, right? And then you get promoted to the booster seat. And then and some of us lawbreakers, we don't go from the car seat to the booster seat. We go from the car seat to the regular seat, right? But you go from the car seat to the booster seat to the back seat, and in my family to the middle seat, and eventually in the process of time, you get promoted to the front seat, and you have arrived. When you can ride shotgun, your things are picking up. You're growing up. Right? And then you go from being the passenger seat to the driver's seat. You understand what I'm saying? We're all looking for promotion in some way. There's some in here, I even thought about some of the elderly saints in here, and I know there's not many of those. Well, you think, where do I go from here, right? Well, I recall when Dr. Thompson was in his later years, he kept talking about getting promoted to heaven. And when your body starts to fall apart, and when the pain starts to set in, honestly, that's a promotion. Really, for all of us, that's a promotion. We just don't realize it. But we're all looking to be promoted. And God is going to promote David. And we're going to look at that tonight and how that promotion comes from God. Right? I want to read it one more time. Psalm 75, it says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. God is the one that promotes us. And so I want to look at that tonight. I want to look at the thought of God promoted David. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into 2 Samuel chapter number 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and thank you for your word. And God, I do pray that you would just help me, Lord, as I get ready to preach your word. God, I pray for your spirit, Lord, to guide my thoughts and my thinking tonight, to guide my words. God, I desire your help tonight. God, I know I don't deserve it, but I do desire it. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would move in our midst and help someone with this truth tonight. And for what you do, I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter number 2. And let's look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul." So verse number 4 of 2 Samuel chapter 2, we see that David is anointed king. Finally, after all these years of running, after Samuel anointed him king, after Saul pursued him like an animal, here we are, David is finally becoming the king. But as you see here in 2 Samuel, at this point, David is just the king in Hebron. Look at verse number 11. It says, "In the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months." So we see at the beginning of David's reign or his rule as king, he spends 7 years as the king of Judah. That means the other tribes of Israel are not underneath of David's reign. And we may look at some of that a little bit here. And so I want to look at how that God promoted David to king. And the first thought I want to look at is this, the order of it. You know, God is a God of order. God is a God of order. The Bible says, "Let everything be done decently and in order." Because our God is a God of order. And I believe that we see that in God's promotion of David. We see that God is a God of order. The first part of God's order of promoting David is this. It is a process. Promotion is a process. As I've already mentioned, Samuel anointed David, right? Samuel anointed David as king, and he went many years after that anointing. I don't know exactly how many years. Some people believe he was anointed when he was 12 or 13 years old. Some people believe he was anointed when he was a little later, maybe 16, 17 years old. But either way, it's been 10 plus, close to 20 years since David got anointed as king. And now at 30 years old, David becomes the king of Hebron. He's still not the king of all of Israel. It's a process. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 5. 2 Samuel chapter number 5, verse number 3. It says, "So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah." So we see the process, right? God raised David. He promoted David as the king of Israel, but there was a process. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how that God does things in order. God is a God of process, right? As I look at the scriptures, I think about what God does, and it's obvious to me that there is a process to God's order. There's a process. Now, I'm not going to say that that is a rule, that it is always that way. But I'm going to say most of the time, a lot of the time, God has a process in the things that he does. God has an order. You understand what I'm saying? God does things in an orderly fashion. God does things in a process. I thought about salvation. When you get saved, you say, "Well, that's a miracle," and it happens instantly. It is a process. The first process of getting saved is being confronted. You can't get saved until you realize you're lost. And so the first part of that process of salvation is confrontation. God confronts us with our sin, whether it's through a preacher, whether it's through a soul winner, whether it's through our own study of the scriptures. We are confronted with the truth that we're sinners in need of a Savior. So there's confrontation, and then there's conviction. Not only do we get confronted with that truth, but we're convicted by that truth. We're convinced of that truth. I am a sinner. You cannot be saved without first realizing that you are a sinner. So there's confrontation, then there's conviction, then there's confession. There's repentance, there's confessing to God. God, I realize I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I receive Jesus Christ for the penalty of my sin, and I want to be saved. So there's a confronting, there's a conviction, there's a confession, then there's a conversion. You see what I'm saying? There's a process. And then after conversion, there's a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a change. It's a process. And then after the change that happens when you get saved, then there's the conforming. The Bible says that we're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So that is a process that is happening in our lives. It's the process of sanctification, of justification, and eventually of glorification. You see, there's a process in what God does. God has an order to what he does. And so the first thing about the being promoted by God, we have to understand there's a process. I thought about people in the Bible that were promoted, and usually, as I've already said, usually there's a process. Think about Moses. Moses is we could go all the way back to the little baby, and he's put in the river, but we'll start in Egypt. Moses starts out in Egypt. He's raised in Pharaoh's house there in Egypt, and then Moses spends 40 years there, and then Moses goes out onto the backside of the desert into the wilderness for 40 years, and God is preparing Moses, and then God sends Moses back to deliver the children of Israel, and Moses becomes the leader that God made him to be. It was a process. Moses. How about Joseph? Joseph is sold. Well, first he's put in a pit. And then he's sold by his brothers, and he goes down to Potiphar's house. And then he goes from Potiphar's house to the prison. And then he goes from the prison to the palace. You see the process? I thought about Joshua, how that Joshua was a spy. You remember that? Joshua was one of the. I'll never talk about Joshua and the spies again without thinking about Bible school. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? Some of you don't remember that. Some of you were there. You'll never forget that, just like I won't. But Joshua was a spy. Him and Caleb, they went in. They spied out the land. They said, we'd be well able to go up. The men said, we can't go up. So Joshua went from being a spy to being a soldier, to being a servant. They said he was the servant of Moses. He served Moses. He was Moses' minister. He went from being a spy to being a soldier, to being a servant of Moses, to being his successor. You see, it's a process. God has a process. And I'm just trying to remind those of you that are here tonight and you're in the midst of that process, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. What's it say? The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's a process. God's going to promote you. Young people, enjoy being young. One day God's going to promote you to being an adult. If you're sitting in the back seat, enjoy sitting in the back seat. One day you're going to get promoted to the front seat. If you're sitting in the passenger seat, enjoy sitting in the passenger seat, because one day you're going to get promoted to the driver's seat. You do know that most rich people don't drive. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Okay? One day God's going to promote you to the role of wife. One day God's going to promote you to the role of husband. And if it's God's will for you, God will promote you to be a parent. You see, it's all God. Promotion comes from God. And we got to understand that. And there's a process in the way God does things. Not only is it a process, but it takes patience. It takes patience. I believe David learned this lesson while he was running from Saul. David had learned the lesson of patience. Now, I can honestly say I have not learned that lesson. But I think life teaches us to learn it. You see, promotion takes patience. We live in a fast food society. Everybody wants it now, right? Everybody wants, I want it now. I want, you know, man, I don't want to get off on this, but man, It's just crazy. We're living in a generation where people want what their parents took their whole life to get. They go into debt that they cannot even pay because they got to have the home that their parents had. Your parents worked 40 years to get that home, right? People want everything right now, and that's not God's way. God's way is it's a process. God says it takes time. You got to be patient. Over and over, the Bible tells us to wait on the Lord. If you look through the Psalms, many of those Psalms that David wrote, you know what David says? Wait. Wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount out like wings with eagles and run and not be weary, right? We got to wait. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse number 5, it says, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 34 of that psalm says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. You see, wait. It takes patience. We got to wait on God. As I was preparing this message, it was like God just kept reminding me, and I was like, I pray that somehow, some way, God would help me to help somebody tonight, because I'm confident there's some people in this room tonight, and some of them are young people, that you just need to learn to wait on God. Wait on God. Be patient. And there's even some middle-aged people, maybe even some older people. I think some of the older people are like David. They've probably learned this truth. But we've got to learn to wait. God's order is a process. And God says you got to be patient, right? You got to wait on God. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 2. I think this is so interesting. We looked last week that Saul and Jonathan have died. Look at what, and we finished in chapter number 1 of David's memorial to Saul. And look at chapter number 2. This is right after David has mourned and he's written this lamentation for Saul. In verse number 1 of chapter number 2, it says, and it came to pass after this, after what? After Saul died. After David mourned for King Saul. It came to pass after this, look at it, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. You know, that right there in itself shows that David's learned some lessons. Remember when he went down to the Philistines? He went down to Philistines, right? He was going down, now he's going up. He's being promoted. But remember when he went down to Philistia? You know what he didn't do when he went down to Philistia? He didn't pray. He did what was in his heart, and he acted on his own will. And now here's David. He's learned some lessons, and he's praying, and he's being patient. You would have thought Saul's dead. David's thinking, hey, man, I'm the king. I'm going to take my throne. But he doesn't. He's patient. He says, God, shall I go up? God says, go. David says, where shall I go? Like, not even just enough shall I go. Where do you want me to go? It's obvious David's not in a hurry. He's waiting on God. He's learned to wait on the Lord. David goes up and he becomes the king over Judah. We've seen that. I read that to you. 7 years he's the king. If you read chapter 2, 3, and 4, you know what you're going to find? 7 years David is the king in Hebron. And you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't start a war. He doesn't go try to take over Israel. He waits. It's remarkable when you think about it. David could have went down. He could have went up and been anointed king at Hebron over Judah, and he could have said, hey, God's anointed me to be the king over all of Israel. I'm going to take the rest of Israel. But he doesn't do that. David waits on God because David has gotten to this place by waiting on God, and he understands. I believe David understands what I'm preaching you tonight, and that is that promotion cometh from the Lord. And David says, I'm going to wait on God. God's gotten me this far. He's going to get me the rest of the way. Can I tell you tonight, whoever it is that I'm preaching to, I just know that I know that I know that God wanted me to preach this tonight. And whoever it is, I'm just here to encourage you, wait on God. Wait on God. God's going to promote you. God's going to advance you. God's going to do what God always does. And so just wait on the Lord. David had learned this lesson. He understood that promotion was a process. He understood that promotion takes patience. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Listen, that he may exalt you. That means that he may promote you. And it says that he may exalt you, listen, in due time. You know what that means, due time? It means when he's ready. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you. He may promote you in due time. I already told you, Galatians chapter 6 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, when the time is right, we shall reap if we faint not. Just keep waiting on God. Just keep waiting on God. When God is ready, when the season is right, in due time, God is going to promote you. So wait patiently on the Lord. You know, I thought about this. Jesus is the greatest example of all. You know, Jesus didn't take his kingdom. He could have. He could have took his kingdom by force, but he didn't. You remember when Jesus in Matthew chapter number 4, one of the first things that happened, I think it's the first thing that happened in Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus got baptized. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus goes out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And what does the devil do? He offers him the kingdoms of the world. He says, if you'll just bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. Jesus didn't take it. Why? Because Jesus is our example. And Jesus was teaching us it's a process. You got to be patient. Jesus didn't take his kingdom by force. I remember in John chapter, I think it's John chapter 2. Is John chapter 2 the wedding at Cana? John chapter number 2? Mary told him to turn the water to wine. And Jesus said, woman, what do I have to do with this? He said, mine hour is not yet come. It's not time. He was teaching us, there's a time for this. Jesus was saying, there's a time that I'm going to rule. There's a time that I'm going to reign. But right now's not the time. And Jesus is the greatest example of what I'm talking about tonight. Be patient. Trust the process. God will promote in his time. And so number one, we see the order of it. Number two, I want to look at this, the opposition of it. You know, God's promotion plan is not without opposition. God's promotion plan is not without opposition. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 2 again. So I see verse number 4 that they anointed David as king. Look at verse number 8. Verse 8 says, But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to that place right there and made him king, right? You see, so there's opposition. David's anointed king, but now all of a sudden there's opposition. Now, I personally, and I don't want to get off and get too far off track here, but just in case somebody would read this and say, oh, there's contradictions in the Bible. It says that Ish-bosheth is the king for 2 years. Is that what it says? 2 years? I think it says he's king for 2 years. Then Ish-bosheth is murdered. And the men of Israel, I think that's chapter 4, the men of Israel come and they say, we want you to be our king. Now, if you read that, and maybe I've got all of you now, so I shouldn't even pointed that out. But the Bible doesn't have contradictions. And so I want you to understand that. If you read that, initially you think, well, how is he king for 2 years, but David was king for 7 years? I think there's a very easy explanation from that. It took 5 years before Abner anointed Ish-bosheth as king over Israel. You understand that they just got done with a war with the Philistines, and they were destroyed as a nation. They were run out of it. I mean, the Philistines have just defeated Saul, Jonathan, three of Jonathan's brothers. I mean, the Philistines have wreaked havoc on Israel. And so I believe if you read into the scripture right here, obviously what happened is David goes up to Hebron. The children of Judah say, we want you to be our king. And Israel is a scattered nation at this time with no leadership. Probably Abner is acting as the leader. And verse number 7 says, but Abner brought Ish-bosheth and presented him to the people, and he made him king, right? And so now Ish-bosheth is the king. So 7 years, David rules, but during that 7 years, there's opposition. There's a somewhat of a civil war going on in Israel. If we were to read it, and I don't want to, but if we were to read it, Abner goes down and he takes some of his men, and Joab takes some of David's men. And I do want you to understand something. Abner starts this fight, not Joab. As I already said, David's not going to take the kingdom by force. David's waiting on God, but Abner comes down, and Abner starts this battle with Joab, and there's a fight, and a battle starts, and David's men and Joab, they chase Abner and the armies of Israel, and they slew, I don't know how many, maybe 300. I'm going by memory right now, so please forgive me. And only about a couple of David's men are slain, and Abner says, man, what are we doing? Let's stop this battle. And basically, you know what Joab says? If you read it, Joab says, hey, man, all you had to do was say it. You started it. That's on you. That's what he says to him. If you read it, Joab says, hey, we'll stop. That's on you. You started it. We'll stop if you want to stop. They weren't trying to take the kingdom. But there was opposition, Abner and Ishbosheth, and there was people that were coming against David. God was wanting to promote David, but there was opposition. See, there's always a presence of opposition. Saul dies and Satan fires up another one. Can I tell you, God is always going to bring opposition into your life. I say that for this reason. In case you're wondering, you say, well, God's promised that he's going to promote me. God says if I humble myself, he'll exalt me. But you know, the circumstances don't appear that way. There's a battle. There's a struggle. That's okay. That doesn't mean God's not in it. Just because there's opposition doesn't mean God's not in it. Satan's always going to oppose what God does. And so we see the presence of opposition. Not only that, we see the persistence of opposition. Look at chapter number 3 real quick. Chapter number 3, it says in verse number 1, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So you see, this opposition, not only is there the presence of opposition, there's the persistence of opposition. It doesn't just come once and go away. It just keeps on coming. It shows up in many different forms. And so if you're waiting on God to do something in your life, you're in that waiting process, and you're looking for God to advance you, looking for God to promote you, but there's opposition, hey, don't get disheartened. Just keep waiting on God. Just keep waiting on God. Opposition is always going to be there. And so we see the opposition of it. And then last, and this is where I'll finish, we see the outcome of it. I already read it to you, but go to 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Second Samuel chapter 5, 1 says this, then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So we see the outcome of it. Talking about God's promotion, the order of it, the opposition to it, the outcome of it. The outcome of God's promotion is peace. The outcome of God's promotion is prosperity. The outcome of God's promotion is purpose. David is finally where God meant for him to be. Now, we're going to look at David's reign as king, and honestly, there's a lot of things that go on during this time, but it truly, after David becomes the king of Israel here and reigns over Israel, it is one of the most blessed times in the history of Israel. Now, there's ups and downs, and especially in David's life, and we're going to look at some of those. But as a nation, Israel is at its pinnacle under David. Now, we know Solomon. I mean, Solomon does some great things, but can I tell you, he's riding David's coattail. David set him up for success. And I'm not minimizing some of what Solomon did. God blessed and used Solomon greatly. But David has a kingdom that is prospering. David has a kingdom that for the most part is peaceful. David has a kingdom with some purpose. David is in the will of God, and he's doing what God has called him to do. He's finally the king of Israel. Why? Because he trusted the process. Can I tell you, when we wait on God, the outcome is always so much better. Here's my closing thought for you tonight. Who God promotes, he prepares. So be patient and trust the process. That's something I learned from the life of David. God wants to promote us. I believe that. God wants to advance his children. God, he says, humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. God wants to exalt his children. He wants to promote us. He wants to advance us in life. But there's a process. And God prepares his children. You know what God's been doing all this time as we've been looking at David? Preparing him. God has been preparing David so that he could promote David. And when God prepares us and God promotes us, we just have to be patient and trust the process, because God's promotions are always better. You know, if we had time tonight, you can shut your Bibles. If we had time tonight, I almost took this approach to this message. I went through numerous situations in the Bible where people tried to promote themselves. And it normally does not work out good. Remember when Absalom tries to promote himself and take the kingdom from David? You remember where he ends up, right? Hanging from a tree. Remember when David's son Adonijah tries to take the kingdom from Solomon? It doesn't work out good for him. I mean, even Saul, really, before he was the king over David, God told him what to do, and he told him to wait on Samuel. You know what Saul did? Saul took matters into his own hands, and he tried to do it his way, and he didn't wait on God. He didn't wait on Samuel. And you know what it did? It cost him the kingdom. And we could go through the Bible, and we could look at person after person after person that tried to get ahead of God through their own self-promotion, through manipulation, through their ability and their whatever you want to call it, and it never works out well. But can I tell you, when we're patient and when we trust the process, God will promote us in due time, and it's going to be so much better. I'm closing right here, but I just know that I know there's some young people here tonight, some of you that are in our youth group, maybe even younger, maybe even some of you a little bit older. I'm telling you, don't get impatient. Trust the process. God's plan is so much better. God will eventually promote you. And if you'll wait and you'll be patient and wait on God, can I tell you, his promotion plan is so much better. So many people get in trouble when they get ahead of God. I don't want to get ahead of God. I want to wait on the Lord. I want to do what David did. God, shall I go up? Yes, you shall go up. Where should I go? Because David had learned God's ways. I think the first message I preached, or second message I preached on David, is God's ways are better than our ways. If anybody's life teaches us that truth, it's David's. So wait on the Lord. Be patient. Wait on God. Trust the process. In due time, God will promote you. You can stand to your feet, and I'm going to ask the pianist to come. Y'all don't tell Pastor we got out of church before 7 o'clock. He's probably going to watch his service, and I just told him. He wouldn't even know that, and I just said it. That's all right. I'm going to ask you to play. You can bow your heads, and I'll give you an opportunity to respond tonight. If God spoke to your heart, you feel free to do business with God and